Good morning. I said Happy New Year online last Sunday, but I'll say it again, Happy New Year to you all this morning. It feels like we've had a really rich service already, and it feels like this is my kind of little bit at the end, but I hope this adds at least something to what we've been thinking about today. Just to explain, the theme over the rest of January and over February is that we kind of press pause for a moment. We take stock. And we almost as a little church kind of go on retreat, that we reflect on where we are, we take things steady. I'm not going to kind of urge you to do over demanding things. I want us to kind of reconnect and recognize that our Christian faith is in a God who is for us, a God who loves us, a God who blesses us and delights in us. So I want to kind of, in a sense, kind of generate a sense of retreat over this month and next. Andrew, Rob and I are kind of going on retreat next week, away for a couple of nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if you've looked on the website already, we've got a new kind of logo that we're using for this series, which is this, comes from the verse from Matthew 11 in the Message version, where it says, "Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life." Think about recovering our lives today. I guess it was some time ago I used this story, but one of my, I don't know much about Greek mythology, but one of the stories that I do know and I absolutely love is the story of Antaeus. And Antaeus was a giant of a man. And Antaeus lived in what we now understand as Libya. And Antaeus was the son of Poseidon, the god of the sea, and his mother was Gaia, the god of the earth. And there was this mighty giant of a man called Antaeus. And one of the things about Antaeus is that he was a wrestler. And anyone who passed through his land, Antaeus would stop and he would challenge them and he would wrestle all the people that came through his land. And one day, a guy called Heracles passed through the land of Antaeus. Now, the thing about Antaeus was he got his immense strength from the earth. So even if he was in a wrestling match, in a fight, in an engagement where he was lifted off the earth and then thrown onto the ground, the moment he touched the ground again, his strength was restored. And he challenged Heracles and the combat began. And they wrestled, they fought. And the thing was that Heracles discovered that every time he lifted Antaeus off the earth, Antaeus's energy waned until it dawned on him this was the only way to defeat Antaeus. So in one mighty final act, he picked up Antaeus, his energy waged, and Heracles crushed him and defeated him. And I tell you this story for this reason, because as we stop and reflect and go on retreat, what I want us to do in a sense is touch earth, touch ground, touch the foundations of our faith again, and so regain our strength to live our lives where we can do so much good. We've recognised, haven't we, that connecting with outdoors has been so important. We've been urged during the pandemic to go out and to visit nature. The Japanese call it what? Forest bathing. You walk through a forest and your perspective and your life is restored. We've found the benefit of connecting and reconnecting with friends and family. You've hopefully been able to do that with some success over the Christmas period. And what a blessing and restoring of life and perspective that gives us. We've also recognised that connecting again back as a church family here in this building does that. Time and again I've heard testimony of people saying, when I came, I hadn't realised what I'd missed from being back in church with other people. And of course, there's reconnection with our loving Heavenly Father, which is the goal and purpose of what we're doing today. So our reading is from the book of Isaiah. from chapter 61. I'm just going to read you the first four verses of Isaiah 61. Isaiah writes, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." That last verse gives a little hint about the context of this verse. And when we understand the context, we get so much more meaning and purpose out of the verses. So the context, if you're not aware of this, is, as I think you know, there are two great movements in the Old Testament, two enormous events which most of the Old Testament basically covers. The first, well, one is east and one is west. The first one is a movement west. I don't know if I'm going west or east here, but it's the movement west, where the people end up in Egypt, become slaves under Pharaoh, and then there is that great return under Moses and Joshua back to the promised land. That's the first great movement of the Old Testament. And the second movement is the other way. It's the movement east, where they're invaded by Babylon, who capture Israel in the north and Judah in the south and take the people off and away to Babylon. And eventually they return back to their home, back to Israel. These verses are found in the prophecy of Isaiah as he speaks about the people returning from that exile, that captivity over in Babylon. And as the hearts were doubtless lifted as they returned, and a bit of joy returned after 70 years in exile in Babylon, they were met with, well, what does it say in those verses? Ancient ruins, former devastations, ruined cities, devastations. Basically came back to a Jerusalem that was depleted, destroyed, overrun, overgrown. And so there was that mixture of joy and possibility mixed with devastation and a lack of hope. And I wonder if any of us can empathize with some of that, at least today, in how we've felt over the last 2 years. Earlier in the writings of Isaiah, in chapter 3, he speaks of what it was like to be taken into exile in Babylon. And listen to what it says in 3 verse 24. Isaiah writes, "Instead of perfume, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-arranged hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a binding of sackcloth. Instead of beauty, shame." And so when we read these verses in chapter 61, verse 3, we find a new set of insteads. Instead is obviously a word of exchange. We take what we have been given and we exchange it. We replace it. Instead of it, we get something else. And I guess you and me, particularly in the modern age, we are used to replacing and exchanging things, taking things back. Before Christmas, my youngest daughter, who is working in a shop where she is at university, I'll tell you the name of the shop, but if I just went, might give you a little bit of a hint of what it is. Some of you have got that one. She said that just for Christmas, a busy day is £12,000 takings. They took £30,000 in takings. And then the day they opened after Christmas, they took £5,000 back in replacing the goods that they'd sold the previous thing. We're used to exchanging things. One of the features of the pandemic has been online grocery shopping. You may have done it before, but I think quite a lot of people like us, we picked it up during the pandemic. And I checked out an article on the Daily Mail, which highlighted some of the best examples of exchanges. You know that thing where you order one thing, but your little printout says, we couldn't deliver that, so we've exchanged it for this instead. And so it showed that a lady ordered three loose courgettes and was exchanged for 3 kilograms of courgettes instead. Or somebody here who wanted a chicken for Easter lunch and they got themselves a stuffed toy chicken. Or finally, my favorite, funniest home delivery substitute ever, chosen batteries not available, so we've popped in a different size, which seems completely ridiculous. Isaiah 61 is all about replacements. It's all about insteads. So we find these three insteads in verse 3. A garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. I'm used to ashes, not just because it's my name, but we have a log burner at home. But every third fire, the grate is full and I take out the ashes. It's the remnants, it's the residue. In Bible terms, ashes represent disaster. Ashes then, in biblical terms, are placed on someone's head to represent utter desolation. I thought about bringing some, but I thought it would be ridiculous to cover myself in ashes, so I decided against that. But picture it. In the Old Testament, Jacob, David, Job, Nehemiah, Jonah, all talk in terms of pouring ashes on their heads. And they are placed on the head because the head is deemed to be the focal point of pain. You'll know in the Old Testament that they have a different understanding to us in terms of thinking and feeling. So we feel with our hearts, we think with our heads. In the Bible, it's the other way around. They feel with their heads and think with their hearts. So for it to be on their heads, that is the focal point of the pain that they are feeling. And nothing represents the desolation of feelings more than the scorched remains and remnants, where beauty and life is all gone. But Isaiah 61:3 tells us that instead of ashes, there will be what? A garland. A garland. By which they mean, you know those kind of images of Romans doing sport and games and having that laurel wreath around their head? That's a garland. Green, living, vivacious. It's like a crown. It's a celebration of everything that is beautiful and vital and full of hope. God replaces the ashes on the head with a garland on the head. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. Well, mourning, that requires little explanation. I guess we've all had reasons to mourn over recent times. Mourning absence, mourning loss, loss of connection, loss of community. Maybe the loss of work, holiday, celebration. Obviously, ultimately, the loss of those we know and love. Just before Christmas, I read a book called Held in Your Bottle. Its title comes from Psalm 56, where it says, you have kept count of my tossing and turning. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not your record? It tells of a God who, in a sense, has kept in a bottle every one of the tears which we have shed. That's the kind of God he is. And knowing that we have suffered in this way, God replaces that bottle of tears with a bottle of oil to bless. A bottle of oil which smells sweet. A bottle of oil that restores. I'm a classic, grew up as a classic eczema asthma child. eczema on the inside, which is miasma, and eczema on the outside, which is on my skin. And my mother, throughout all my childhood, used to pour oil in my bath, used to rub cream into my skin to try and deal with that, because oil replenishes, oil restores. And finally, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. I read this week on the BBC website that it's estimated that 1.3 million people in our country suffer from long COVID, that physical weakness and tiredness they can't shake off. But that doesn't get anywhere close to the figure, I guess, of people who are emotionally suffering from the extended implications of the pandemic. We've heard about HOGO, H-O-G-O, the hassle of going out. I'm just going to hunker down and stay in. There's this lack of motivation, this lack of inspiration. And advertisers are trying their hardest to get us up and out and shopping and doing stuff again. And there is the impact of this on our children. But the Bible message, not just in Isaiah 61, is one that repeatedly tells us that there is a reason to be blessed with praise in our lives. Psalm 24 repeatedly tells us to lift up our heads, that the King of glory may come in. It's as if the hand of God reaches out to you and me and gently puts its hand under our chin and lifts us up and wraps us around with a garment, a garland, a mantle of blessing and praise. This passage, Isaiah 61, is familiar to us, not just because it's in the Old Testament, but I think you'll probably know that it's in the New Testament as well. In that story, I think it's in Luke 4, where Jesus goes into his hometown, goes back to Nazareth and goes in on the Sabbath to the synagogue, and he opens the scriptures and he finds the place where these words are written. And it says, the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And although the passage doesn't tell us this, I'm going to stick my neck out and say that I'm pretty sure for the reason that Jesus chose that passage is because this, in some sense, summed up all the work that Jesus was about. Just like Tom Wright just told us on the video, this is the very work of God in our lives. He is the God of the great instead. He takes our circumstances, our situations, our emotions, our demands, the lack of resources we have, and as the God of the instead, replaces it with all the goodness that we've heard of, the mantle, the garland, the oil of blessing. So we read these repeated stories in the Bible. John 4. Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, a despised religious group, five failed marriages, out at noon. Why? To avoid everybody else in the sun. And in speaking to her, Jesus gives her a garland instead of the ashes of her life. In Luke 8, a 12-year-old girl is on her deathbed, and there's a woman who's suffering a debilitating flow of blood, and an illness which excludes her. And waylaying the girl, she deals with the woman with a flow of blood and restores her. And the 12-year-old girl currently, consequently, dies. The woman is restored and healed and is now acceptable and welcomed into synagogue life. And then Jesus reaches out and arrives at this girl's home, and in a midst of wailing and despair at the hopelessness of this dead child, Jesus brings her to life. That is the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And in Luke 15, Jesus creates this story of a son who leaves home demanding his inheritance even before his father's death. And in his immoral, rebellious, and reckless living, he squanders it all. And in doing so, he loses his purpose, his pride, and even his will to live. So broken, and indeed now as a faint spirit, he returns home, where his father sees him from a long way off and runs to greet him and puts a ring on his finger, tells them to kill the fatted calf. And what other thing does he do? Puts his cloak around his shoulders. The father gives him a mantle of praise. I wonder what our insteads are this morning. I wonder what insteads we require today. Because I believe that this instead word is a profoundly gospel word. It reminds us about exchanges, that insteads are possible. It's an offer that Jesus makes to you all. Are you tired? Do you feel like in some way at least you're in exile? What insteads do you require this morning? Now, years ago, I read in this commentary, happens to be by Tom Wright, the guy that you saw on the film, the story which became one of my favourite stories in the New Testament, of the widow at Nain in Luke 7. Not many of you might recall this widow at Nain story. But what happens is that there's a widow, so her husband has died, who has a son, and the son dies, double death. And Jesus walks into a village situation, not far from Nazareth, where a funeral procession is going past and the boy's dead body is on the cart about to be buried. And Jesus talks, and Tom Wright talks about how the boy is restored and what that means. And when I read these words, they had such a profound effect on me that they have impacted the way I minister and I pray for people because of what I'm about to read you now. It says this. Tom Wright writes, "Now go through the scene again, but this time instead of it being a funeral procession in a small first century Galilean town, make it the moment you most dread in the next week or the next year. Maybe it's something that you know is going to happen, like a traumatic move of house or job. Maybe it's something you're always afraid of, a sudden accident or illness or tragedy or scandal. Come into the middle of the scene if you can. In prayer, feel its sorrow and frustration, its bitterness and anger. Then watch as Jesus comes to join you in the middle of it. Take time in prayer to let him approach, speak, touch, command. He may not say what you expect. He may not do what you want. But if his presence comes to be with you there, this is what you most need. Once he is in the middle of it all, you will be able to come through it." It's about Jesus coming into the presence of our situation and delivering his instead. Now, where was I? There is this song that I used to sing some years ago, you may remember it, where the repeated chorus is, "And all you ever do is change the old for new." Revelation 21, Tom Wright referred to it, is where it says, "Behold, I'm making all things new." So what insteads do you require? What insteads do you require? Let's just take a moment, shall we, just to bow our heads and be quiet. Perhaps you want to close your eyes. And I don't know what it is, but God does. Bring to him your instead or your insteads right now. And I read this week that God came that we might have life. He didn't come so that you might exist. Do you exist or do you live? John 16 says, very truly, I tell you, you will have pain, but your pain will be turned into joy. And Lord, more surely than I know anything or believe anything, I believe those words to be true. Because it's the testimony of the Bible, it's the message of Jesus, it's the story of my, our lives. So Lord, we come to this point of exchange where we hand to you those people, those situations, those circumstances, those feelings and emotions that are not your gift for us. And we ask, Lord, that you might gift us now the life and the blessing which you want for us. The garland, the mantle, the oil. And Lord, we receive these things with faith and with deep, deep gratitude towards you. You are a good and kind God to us. And we worship you. Amen.